Welcome to the First Stage Podcast. It feels good. It feels good to have the first one going here. My name is Aaron Durbin, and I'm here with Caleb Davis. Welcome, Caleb.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here. Glad to be a part of it.
Good. I'm glad. This is going to be a good time. We like this whole podcast is all about starting out, and it's all about like the first time you go up and do something. And for us, since we've both been doing comedy around the Lubbock, Texas area for the last like 7 years, we're going to go back and we're going to look at people's first sets. And since this is the first episode, I would be remiss if I didn't start with my own first set. So we're going to go over that, and it's my first ever open mic, so it should be a good time. But before we get started on that, I figure, you know, we're going to have a theme song eventually. So I've got, I came up with a couple of these. I think I spent maybe 10 minutes on it. So here's the first one.
Do you remember the first time? Do you remember when you sucked? Well, Cal and Derb are going to fuck it up.
So yeah, there you go.
Do you remember the first time?
Yeah, there we go. Slowing itself. Yeah, like, so that starts off real good with the, get to the exploited part of it or the explicit podcast, you know, starting out with fuck it up.
But, yep, fuck it up.
But as you can tell, like, I think it would be fun because, like, this is the first podcast, so this is also the first attempt of me making these terrible songs. So
yeah, well, I can sense a little bit of there's almost like some teenage angst behind that first one right there. It's like sounds like a Blink-182 song.
Oh yeah, yeah, like that's what I was going for, like a pop punk feel to it, yeah. And stuff. But like I didn't know how to do the backing and stuff. So like on the GarageBand MIDI controller setup I have going on here, so I just kind of worked it real quick, and
yeah.
And then I've got one other theme for you. We'll see how you like this one. First stage, pretty simple, you know, like it's gets right to the point. You know what it is. You know, you know it's announced. It's there. So
that's right. It's all encompassing right there. Boom.
Yep.
Drop the bass on it and
just
first stage,
keep
baby.
It going. Boom, first stage right there. But yeah, I was like many podcasts going on. Probably it all started because of the pandemic that's going on right now. So me and 1,000 other people, we all had these ideas. And then when would this all happen? I was just like, well, I mean, if it's ever going to happen, it's going to happen now. And so had all this extra time, got up all the setup, and so we're doing it. It's happening.
Yeah, this is a pretty sweet setup, dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm impressed. I saw a couple pictures that you sent me, but I'm sure we'll post something where you can see kind of this makeshift little podcast table and mixer and thing that Durbin rigged up together. It's pretty sick.
Yeah, yeah. It was a lot of, like, internet and watching, like, YouTube videos and figuring this out. Like, I think for the first week, I couldn't figure out how to get the mic to work on the mixer. I'm like, what am I doing wrong with this? Like,
yeah.
And so it was a lot of button pushing and knob turning, and then I finally figured it out. And so now it seems like it works good. We'll see when this is all said and done how it sounds. I think it'll sound all right. But yeah, it's been an ordeal. And the good thing is, though, I have wanted to do this style of podcast for a really long time. We all kind of started in the iPhone generation. So a lot of us have like a recorded first open mic.
Right.
And usually it's pretty terrible. And I want it to be terrible. And I want someone coming in with this polished stuff because a lot of people, whenever we have done a lot of shows and stuff, we've been through the trenches together forever. Like me and you were at
right.
the Borger Comic Con watching Jared Jack shake down a guy against $20.
That was really funny. I cherish that moment because it was like, yeah, we were all pissed and we were in Borger and they had made the mistake of renting us a hotel room and then we're not gonna pay us for the gig, and so like all of us were like, well, we're just gonna fucking burn that hotel room to the ground. And so that kind of gave Jared a little bit of juice, but he was shaking this guy down hard for, I think it was like $50 to share between like 8 comedians. By God, we were getting our $5 or five.
Yeah,
six
exactly.
Bucks.
I need those like 2 gallons of gas to get back home, you know?
So. Yeah, we were getting it. So,
but yeah, I think that's probably the last time we'll have a show in Borger, Texas. But.
Yep. Yep. A lot of memories of just that one evening there. It was a pretty wild Comic-Con out there. So we survived it, and I think if we can get through that, we can really think some greener pastures were in front of us after we got past that deal. So,
yeah, like all of the, like a lot of people will come up to this one because we host open mics around Lubbock, Texas, in the West Texas area. And they're always just like, so how do you do it? And it's just like, you just got to start. You got to start and you got to keep doing it. You got to keep doing it and stuff. And so I think this is a good, this will be a good thing to show people, show us starting out and stuff. And it's just like, well, this is what we did.
Right. Yeah, no, I totally agree. Everyone, you know, it's there's always some hesitation from some people where it's like, oh, I just want to keep writing and make sure it's perfect. It won't be. You're not going to get to perfect. Nobody really does. I mean, even on these guys that are pros, they're still working stuff out even as they're touring. I guarantee you guys that are, you know, even recording stuff and putting it out there, there's still probably some or two or three bits in there that they've either figured out days before or, you know, it's just always putting in the work and getting out and doing the mics and trying to work that out on stage. You can't ever succeed it just in the writing room, I guarantee you.
Yeah, like most of these guys, they'll release specials and stuff, and they're like, oh man, after I released it, I found a greater tag for that joke, and that'll be a constant thing forever and ever.
Right.
And so it's just repetition and time, and if you keep going up, keeping up, you can get to that spot faster, but there's no, like, magic bullet or whatever for it.
No, there's really not, and yeah, I would say, you know, if you come up through West Texas doing open mic, you're going to start probably dang near the bottom, so just know that it'll get better as long as you put in the work and keep coming out. So
yeah, everybody wants to like be Joe Rogan after the first one. It's like, I think he put a lot of time in for that, so you're gonna have to wait. But he is coming to Texas, so maybe he'll be at our open mic soon.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Well, yeah, there was like pre Joe Rogan, like whenever he was like doing like, what was it, like Fear Factor stuff on, that was like before he started like blowing up and doing all his thing and comedy and the UFC stuff. So, you know, he put in his time beforehand. Yeah. He didn't just magically, you know, show up. I mean, heck, he's got thousands of podcasts that he's got out there and he's just killing it in the comedy game. So, you know, he's put in the work, that's for sure. And that's kind of the name of the game in comedy, I would tend to believe. So,
Yeah, you gotta just keep going, keep doing it. But for this one, let's just get to it. Let's get to this whole thing. So a little backstory on myself. I started comedy in 2013, and just a little description of Lubbock, Texas itself. It's kind of like a town of about 250,000 people, and comedy's been kind of dead here for, I would say, since the late 90s. We had a comedy club here called Froggy Bottoms, and it was here, and about the time I think I turned 18, it closed down. So any idea for me to go see comedy or do comedy, there wasn't anything. And then through the years, like, there have been like a couple of instances where we'll have shows coming every once in a while, but as far as people doing mics and stuff like that, someone will do one for like a week or 2 weeks, and it'll get shut down. And so back in 2013, there was a guy, Joe Gardner, Jared Jack, Corey Evans, I guess is what he's going by now.
Yeah.
But they started an open mic, and our mutual friend Adam Hernandez, like, he posted that he was going to go do it. And at that time in my life, I was just kind of, I was just out of it, stressed, bored. I didn't enjoy my life at that time. And typically what happens with me when that happens is I do something drastic. Like, I can remember back when I was in college, I was just going to quit. I was just tired of college. And so I'm like, well, let's not quit. Let's just do something crazy that we want to do. And so then I went and studied abroad in Norway. And then that kind of rekindled the fire. And I came back and crushed that last year of school and graduated with a degree I'm still not using. So, you know.
Yeah. How much time did you spend deciding on Norway and then wanting to like study abroad? Was it just like rash, like, I'm going to this, I'm signing up and I'm doing it?
I was hate this school, blah blah blah, and I was walking through the business building, and literally on one of the monitors it said study abroad, and under it was Norway. So like I did, and so like that was the thing. I'm like, I'm doing that. But it wasn't like I looked in the other programs, like study abroad, and a lot of them require, like, you got to learn Spanish or whatever. I'm like, but that one didn't. So yeah. Like, I was just like, I'm like, cool, I can do the study abroad thing. I get this extra, like, it was called international business, or general business international emphasis. So I always tell people I have an international business degree. And then my friend will always be like, that's not true. And I'm like, shut up, dude. Just because I didn't want to go get, I didn't want to learn Spanish for 2 years, you know, like it's still an international business degree. So I don't care what you people say. But yeah, I did that. And then when I went there and stuff, it was like the slow process of me breaking out of my shell pretty much, because I was growing up, I was a pretty shy guy. I would just choose my words. Like I just saw like talking and explaining ideas wasn't working. Like, I wouldn't get it, it wasn't working for the people I was viewing and stuff. I'm like, well, there's no reason for me to do that. I'll just keep it all to myself. So I did that for many, many years. And so there's a process of that. I'm going to Norway. I kind of broke out of my shell a little bit, had to meet all these new people, new culture, and all that stuff. Came back. And then I was good for a while. And then we came down to the point where it's just like, I got to start doing more things. And so then I started doing, like, karaoke was probably my first mic experience.
Yeah.
You know, singing terrible songs. Like, I think my go-to was like Cake, you know, the band Cake, you know, because like his octave range is very limited. He's basically talking. So it's just right. Like, I need your understanding. I need your love, you know.
There you go.
Go up there and crush that. And so that was kind of the first thing. And so that building up, and then you kind of get in this complacent time. And then I just got, I was just getting more depressed and stuff. I'm like, hey, it's time to re-up that, do something crazy. And so I think this was the second mic they hosted. This was at Backstage Lubbock, which is mostly a concert venue. And now I can tell you it's terrible for comedy, but like, you know, I didn't know any better at the time and stuff. And there's been multiple times where they wanted us to do shows. And I'm like, it's just not a good room. It's nothing against the people or the business or anything. It's just not a good room for comedy. It's too open, giant ceilings. You know, it's a great rock venue. It's fine for that.
But, right.
But when you kind of need an intimate setting and stuff, like people are on tables and they're like 4 feet below you and they're far away, it just doesn't work. But
That was the venue of most of our super heated, like, matches with the bar, where we were just battling customers and people and just noise and telling people to shut the fuck up and them not wanting to comply. So, yeah, Backstage was a great spot to have it, to kind of launch off. But there was always that, like, all right, here's where the comedy doesn't care, and yeah. It's right at the bar, and it was such a big room that you could hear everything. And so
I just realized the first problem with this podcast is I was completely wrong when I said Backstage. It's Jake's Back Room. So
I just shit on Jake's Backstage.
Backstage was great. let's I don't want to have to edit this thing, but so I'll just do it in the podcast. We had plenty of great shows at Backstage.
We did, but there were still some crowd problems at Backstage. No, Jake's is a tough one.
But yeah, everything you said about that, just apply that to Jake's Back Room, and, yeah. And it's the same thing. Like it's just, yeah, a giant stage, too much open space. But anyway, at that time, this is the glory of podcasting, and me not wanting to edit too much is we'll just keep it in and keep going.
Yeah, fuck them.
because Backstage doesn't exist anymore anyway, so, you know, whatever. Like,
legend.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. But it was at Jake's Back Room, and my friend Adam posted on the thing. It's like, oh, I'm going to do that. And like the first one, I was just like, wasn't in the right headspace to do it. So the second time, I think it was the second week. This was in March of 2013. And so I was just like, all right, we're gonna get up. We're going to go out there. We're going to do this. Like, and then I didn't tell anyone about it. It was just like, we're going to go just see and stuff, because like I didn't want, because like, a lot of people that we've seen over in open mics will bring all their friends to their first open mic.
Yep.
Which is a terrible idea. Like, yeah, yeah. It is not something, because you know, you in your head you may think you're great, but you know, once you get up there, there's a lot of nuances with the microphone and stuff, and like you know, in your mind this is a really funny story that takes like a minute, but you spend 20 minutes trying to tell it. And you just don't realize it until you're actually on stage doing it. But I said I was going to go up. I was just going to do it. And then we'll go from there. If I didn't like it, then I was like, cool, no harm, no foul. We tried. And then if I did like it, I'm like, oh, we'll go up and try it again. And I think after that point, I have rarely missed an open mic. So obviously I liked it. But getting to that point, we're going to go ahead and get into, and we're going to listen. All right, first thing, I looked at the length of this video, and it's 10 minutes, which anyone doing an open mic is way too fucking long for an open mic set. So.
Yes. So you showed up, and they were like, all right, here you go, buddy. You get 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Or they just left you up there? Did they tell you how much time you were getting? Or?
I don't think so. I think they said, you know, you can do about 10 minutes. So everyone was doing 10 minutes or less or more. I think hearing Corey talk about it, I think his first time he did it too, he did like 10 minutes or whatever too. So I think everybody was getting 10 minutes, which like just a note to people doing open mics, like start them off at like 3 minutes and then if they crush that, give them some more time. But
yeah, or if you're starting your first open mic and whoever's running the mic goes, hey, you get a 10-minute set, just do 2-3 minutes and get the hell out of Dodge, you know, don't just wait up there to die. And because it's just, those 10 minutes can last and it feel like an eternity, that's for sure.
Yeah, and there's always a thing with somebody starting open mic who feel like they need to fill the time. And it's like, no, do not. Like, if they say give 10 minutes and you got 30 seconds and you crush that 30 seconds, then get off stage.
Sure. Like, yeah, Costanza, that shit. It worked, all right, I'm gone.
I saw a guy, like, we did a competition in Albuquerque, and we were supposed to get, like, 5 minutes. He's like, whoa, we're giving you 10 and stuff. And I'm like, well, I really only wrote. So I just did my 5 and then got off. And then I watched a guy try to fill the time, and, like, it was like, yeah, we loved his first 5 minutes. And then he just was terrible.
Yeah, you can totally undo and reverse everything that you had with just trying to do too much time with any set, really. It only takes about... You could have two, even one rough minute, and it totally undoes how well you were performing prior to that. But yeah,
and they're always gonna remember the last part of it. You know?
Exactly. So yeah,
like, that guy was good until he said something about Jesus. You know,
yeah, right? Yeah, there's so many times you see somebody up there and they're like, "Dang, this guy's on it," and then it's like, "Okay, where's he going now?" And you're like, "Oh no, yep." This is a bomb now.
Yep.
It was great. He was on the rails, and then it just totally went, see ya.
It's like, we tried, brother. Yeah. All right, well, let's go ahead and get into this. So we're going to listen to my first ever open mic in its entirety, and this is at Jake's Back Room. This is March of 2013, and yeah, by myself on stage, probably had a couple drinks. So here we go.
How's it going, guys? That was way polished. This is my first time, so please bear with me if things fall off track. I'm gonna kind of treat this like a first sexual experience. You know, I'm not gonna be too crazy, but I'm not gonna know where everything goes. All the stuff I see on porn, you can't do because she's a lady. I don't know. And Basically, there's a Keanu Reeves movie playing in the background. Alright, I'm talking a little too much about my life, but you probably want to know which movie it is, don't you? It can't be The River's Edge. I'm a little too young for that. But it wouldn't be Point Break, although I did have a lot of sex with myself at that time. But no, it was The Matrix. Yes, the high point of both of our careers and our respective trades happened while The Matrix was going on. And then after that, not so much. The sequels did not pay off and I was not getting laid. Which really, really sucks. But the problem I have with that is I started to think about it and I'm like, I really hope that my sex life is not really tied to the success of Keanu Reeves movies. Because he's not really doing well right now. And I thought he was going to come back. I thought that the Man of Tai Chi is out there. It's going to be his Tony Stark, Iron Man thing, Robert Downey Jr. We're going to be back in on this. So around Christmas time, I'm hanging out, waiting around. I'm just like, okay. 47 Ronin is going to be the best for both of us, right? I'm all ready. I'm all hanging out in Asian restaurants, expecting to get some strange and stuff, but no. Nobody shows up. I didn't even go see the movie, which really, really sucks. because I didn't even believe in myself to go see the movie to maybe make that happen. So if things fall off track in a while, just let you know it's my first time. So I'm trying.
This is where it should stop.
Trying my best. But happy Fat Tuesday to everyone.
Fat Tuesday.
Yes, I'm not Catholic, but I do kind of celebrate this holiday. For the next 40 days of Lent, I will be avoiding any restaurants that have a fish stand special because I've got to do other things. And I feel that that's kind of a loose term of the Catholicism to go out and have a fish sandwich, especially at like Long John Silver's, which it's questionable if you're actually eating fish. But it is a drinking holiday, and I'm all about drinking holidays. Those are always fun. And we need a drink after the hangover from the Olympics. Because I don't know about you guys, I wanted the Olympics to be good. It's like going to your own hometown. You're just like there. It's gonna be awesome. Nostalgia shit. I'm all ready for this. And then 3 days in, you're like, get the fuck out of here. Hate this fucking place. So after watching the biathlon for a while and stuff, I'm like, what am I doing with myself? And then like, it's really shitty because like, basically all the storylines they wanted to do didn't work out. I was like, all right, let's hey Donnie, why don't you run that clip on Sean White, you know, he's gonna be half-life champion. He's like, yeah, he didn't place. Oh shit, what do we have? We got a Slovenian pop singer. She's also good at skiing. Okay, run that. People like the voice, and yeah, let's do that. Then we got Bodie Miller crying on the sideline. That's real good for America. One of our well-known athletes, Olympic medal champion. Out there just bawling on the side and stuff. Yeah, go free world. But the worst was definitely the Bob Costas and the Eye of Sauron that he had throughout the whole time. And so I had to think at that time if that might have been the last chance that communism had. That was their last attack on America. They're thinking about it. They're just like, oh, how do we affect the Americans? We strap a bomb to dog. No, you can't do that. Can't do that, man. Seriously, Putin got a lot of shit for like taking out those dogs. Can't do that. Okay. How about these? We have a big shit club in TV America, Bob Costas, and we give him the guy. Okay, man. Can I do this? You let me do this? Wait a second. I know you. Oh, you're Matt Lauer. You're the other TV talking person. And that's probably the best part about the Olympics. It's because rarely do you get to see an origin story about someone really evil getting up to super villain territory. And that's kind of what happened with old Mr. Matt Lauer. And we all saw signs of it before. I don't know if you're familiar with your today history. I'm a little older than y'all. 24. Go. But he had some issues with one of his other anchors, and I'm blanking on her name right now, but Anchory, that's who it was, and he didn't want to be around Anchory, and was like basically, Matt, I don't think you should be doing this. It's like, what the fuck did that bitch just say? What? All right, I want you out of here. No, it's not far enough. I want you off the continent. You're going to be reporting from somewhere else. And I want a younger, more attractive woman to replace you. And I want people to think that we might be having an affair on the side. That's what I want. And so now, I mean, like, he's getting to that supervillain territory. He's basically shaving his head, growing the mustache out, taking pop shots at Bob Costas, the loving sports guy. And I mean, you really don't get to see that. But of the Olympics, I do appreciate the athleticism. I work out. I want you all to know. I do CrossFit. I'm going to fucking talk about it all the fucking time. I'm going to let you know. I'm going to tell you about all the workouts I do every day. I'm going to use a lot of terms and acronyms that you don't understand because I want to include you in the conversation. But I want to make you feel a little uncomfortable because you're not part of my workout cult. But that being said, I've been doing that for a long time. And I came to the sad realization that I have had a longer relationship with my CrossFit gym than I've had with any woman. Which sucks, but I think I'm going to approach dating that way now. I'm going to be like, okay, I really like you. We can go out, but it's only 3 times a week. And we can only go out for an hour, but you will get all of me. I'll tell you every time, whenever you ask me what I'm thinking, I'll tell you exactly what I'm thinking, all that shit. We'll you get into my brain, we'll do great things, but no weekends. Can't hang out on the weekends. Because I want good intentions to hang out with you on the weekend, but I want to go out and drink on Friday. And when you want to hang out, it's just a little too early, and I want to kind of sleep in. I don't know, like, so I've been trying to, I think that might be a long-lasting relationship.
Still 2 more minutes, 3 more minutes in.
Man, this is fun, first time.
Hey, you're fine.
This is great. But I feel less polished than the person before me. That's okay. It's okay, we'll deal with that. I can drink a lot. So it's okay. But I don't know if anyone is going to the DMX show tomorrow. Because I'm just selling that bone shit. Who thought a bone show in Lubbock, Texas would sell out? Jesus. But I'm kind of excited because in the back of my mind, I'm hoping that Steven Seagal is over there just sitting at that bar top. Because I did all my research, I watched Little Romeo Must Die, but my favorite movie was Exit Wounds. And I saw that in the theater, and before you judge me, I didn't pay for it. I did the old school method of going to see movies for free. I went and saw one movie. When the movies I was with, I went and walked into the other movie. So all I saw of that movie when I walked in, the very beginning, was Steven Seagal shooting his gun out with a revolver, 5 shots, and the helicopter blows up. Helicopter blows up. And so like, that's all I remember about the movie, so I went to go revisit it. I looked at it, and I watched that, and that happens in the first 5 minutes. I'm like, oh, shit. A lot more of this movie I gotta watch now. And I kind of learned that there's not a lot more of that movie you need to watch. But I do like the stupid action movies, but in the back of my mind, my secret hope is that Steven Seagal sits at that bar top, he comes in, and he's been hanging out with DMX all the time, good buddies, like goes on all the tours, runs security for him. He's talking about the times when he used to bang the woman that was in Weird Science. DMX is talking about his 12 children. 12 children. I don't know if that's true, I saw it on Wikipedia, but like, I assume it is. But 12 kids, that's blowing my mind. Ludacris talks about all his hoes in different area codes. But DMX has to start rapping about his kids just so he can remember their names. So I feel pretty good right now. I'm gonna let that one go, and I'm just gonna say thanks for letting me call my cherry out here, guys.
All right,
there you go.
That was recorded obviously before the John Wick series came out,
right? Yeah, that was my first note. Was like, you know, he ended up all right.
Yeah, apparently, like I got that one completely wrong.
At the time, Keanu was just nowhere.
Yeah, there
and
was not.
Just, the John Wick was just like, boom, I'm back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I remember going, I went with those guys that did that show to the first John Wick movie, and I was like, oh, what's this going to be, you know, and stuff. And, like, I had no expectations for it, and I was, like, blown away. I'm like, that was awesome. Like,
yeah.
Keanu's back, baby.
Yeah, you hit him with the Keanu. And then I had a note about the lint joke. So you were topical, mm-hmm. And you were like, all right, what's going on right now? You were also like, hey, I'm on what's going on right now. Fish sandwiches, fuck Long John Silver's. I guess me and you had that same.
Yeah.
I guess there's a lot of people out there that really just don't like Long John Silver's, and they're just a doormat for comedians.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's funny though because like that joke was like a based off of a real annoyance I had, like, that you forget that happens when Lent happens, is just, like, you can only eat fish on Fridays. And so sometimes you're at a restaurant that only serves fish, and you're like, why is this line so long? What is going on? And, like, if you go to any Long John Silver's, it's just, like, packed with people. And you know how bad their service is, so you know, like, it's like you get in line, and 4 hours later you get your fried piece of whatever.
Right, yeah. It's like, yep. Old good old Long John. Yeah, that Bob Costas was pretty good. I remember that pink eye joke.
Yeah, yeah.
You kind of ran with that for a little while. I don't remember it being kind of phrased on like the Russians getting back at America. So let's give Bob Costas pink eye.
Yeah, me doing voices. Something I right. don't even do now anymore. Yeah. It's just like, oh yeah, so it's good to put an accent. This will be good. What I've learned when I listened to that was like, I was like, I still do like stuff like that, but like it's way makes more sense because like what I was doing in that set was it was a lot of referential, a lot of topical stuff, which I still do. I still like that and stuff, but like there was just a lot of like. I wasn't getting to where I needed to get to as fast, and and it was just kind of just going along, and like it's funny because like in doing like having to find the set and pick it up and look at it, I like found some other ones and I'm like, man, I want to be that guy again, because like there's a couple of like nights that I have recorded and stuff where I just like there's like no space and I crush it all and stuff, but that I got some giggles in that. It wasn't
a total bomb. I mean, I think that you were. You kind of eased into what you were getting your point across, but like overall, like I thought like your confidence level was high throughout the whole deal. Like you didn't have a whole lot of just pauses. Like I think your start was a little rough.
Yeah.
You just kind of stumbled into what you were doing. But once you got going, like, I mean, it wasn't just like, holy shit, you know, this guy's.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't like, no, someone, like, no,
how
one
much
was
time
like,
is this someone guy get this on? Guy someone light, here. Someone light this guy. It wasn't like that. But just I was impressed just in your confidence level of just how you were delivering stuff, and you were talking and kind of walking people through your mindset. So, no, I mean, kudos to you for coming right out of the gate and having that. I mean, you had a presence on the mic. It wasn't like you were just kind of like, oh, is that funny? All right, yeah, I'll do some other stuff now. Like you weren't.
Yeah, it was.
You didn't seem like you were fearful of what you were getting up there and getting into.
To me, it was like it was a no stakes situation since I didn't have any of my friends there, and like I didn't know any of you guys or stuff or anyone in the comedy. I'm like, this might just be a one off. I don't even think Adam was there, who was the one who like he didn't even make it to that show, so he was the only other person I would have known at that show. And then I met all those guys after, and like then they came up to me after, and they're just like, you gonna keep doing it? I'm like, yeah, I think so. And like, and then I did that for like the length of that that room was probably only lasted another 3 months maybe before it was shut down.
And that was just once a week show.
It was a once a week show or like once a month. I can't remember. I think it was once a week because we're once every 2 weeks. But and then that one pretty much like that one ended, and then. And then we had I think what came after that one. I think that was probably the litter box, and then the recovery room, I think, were the other shows that were going on at that time.
Yeah, I think I was in 13 whenever I was back here. So I know that Backstage was my first Lubbock mic here.
Backstage was, Backstage came, I think it came right after the litter box.
Gotcha.
I think the lit, like, because I can't remember. I don't know. Well, I don't know. No, whenever the Doug Stanhope show, when he came to town, I think they talked them into getting the show Backstage.
Gotcha. Yeah. I don't think I was in town. I wasn't in town whenever he came through, but I wasn't even involved at all in comedy really at that point in time. So,
yeah. I think I was like 3 months in at that point and stuff. And so like, you know, being 3 months in, and then I think it was Joe asked me, he's like, hey man, you want to go in the green room and meet like Doug Stanhope? I'm like, yeah, of course. And that was really cool because it was just like, I just literally had no issues with asking him probably questions that he's been asked 1,000 times. You know?
Yeah, so that's
like,
great.
How'd you get into comedy? What do? You write your own stuff? You know, like
yeah.
I just kind of like talked his ear off, and he was really cool about it and stuff. And, And we took shots of donut-flavored vodka that he got from his Dallas show, which tasted like diabetes. It was pretty terrible, but like, but yeah, it was fun, and like, and it was cool to see, because it was funny on that stand-up show, because I think it was Jared was the host, Jared Jack, and then he went up and did the show, and then I think Joe was one of the, and I'm trying to remember who the third one was. I want to say it was Zach Eaton, but I can't remember. But yeah. They did the show, and then Jared tried to go back up on the mic, and they're like, "Whoa, what are you doing?"
Like, after stand-up? That's so funny.
And I think this is one of those things where it's just like everybody's pretty green on how show works and stuff.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, because there's like, yeah, it was super green around here, because, I mean, I got involved on hosting pretty quick, and it was like, hey, man, if you're hosting, you pretty much make the rules for the show. And it's just like, well, I don't know. I mean, hey, this guy's here, this guy's there. Who gives a shit? You know, let's just sign up and see what happens. And then, you know, you kind of, you learn, you make the mistakes, and you learn, make more mistakes, and then you just try to get it refined where it's like, no, we just need to keep
plugging around, and keep it like democratic, and like everybody gets the same amount of time and stuff, and there's times where like you have to like step in and like kick someone off the mic, or you have to save the crowd.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. That's
like. You're like, okay, we can't have any more duds, guys. We need somebody to come with some fire, because we're losing our audience here. But
yeah, I think that's also part of the open mic journey that anybody goes into. I think that's where, I guess, there might be kind of a break on or like a fall off on education wise on people that go and watch comedy versus like guys showing up to open mic, especially in West Texas. Like, oh, it's Wednesday night, it's comedy night, at blah blah blah. Like, they're showing up to think, like, they're expecting something polished. And they're getting is just a juicy turd being thrown out there.
Yeah.
And sometimes it'll hit right. But most of the time, you're going, hey, there might be 10, 15 minutes total time of, like, good comedy going on up here. Or something that you're going to, you know, slap knee slapper hard, face hurt hard, laughing. But for the most part, it's a lot of just working out the kinks, and so that's something I think every scene deals with, and you get people that come in and expect to get aces, and it's like, yeah. Strap in, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. If this is what you're expecting. I like comedy. I just saw Jim Gaffigan. This is going to be like Jim Gaffigan, right? And it's like, no, it's going to be like getting your haircut at barber college.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I mean, you probably will get a good haircut. You might get a mediocre haircut, but there's a chance you're going to get a really shitty haircut.
Yeah, it's a high likelihood your hair is going to look like shit for a little while.
Yeah, yeah. Got to roll the dice on that, you know?
Right.
But like, it's so funny now, because like, I mean, like we're doing this podcast now because we haven't performed since March. So like,
yeah.
And it's so weird because there's this consistent schedule of going out and doing shows. And it's weird because there's no way to sharpen the knife or anything. Like, I mean, it's like, I have ideas for jokes and stuff like that. And you just can't get it out there. I mean, I don't know if you've done one, but I have not done one of the Zoom comedy shows. Like,
no,
seems terrible. It seems like a terrible idea.
And I'm not, I mean, if that's what you're getting into and that's what you want to do, more power to you. But for me, I've literally just, once COVID hit and our shows were over, I've literally just like dropped all of it. And it's not like, I mean, for me, it's just, we got to get this fired back up whenever it's safe to do it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that's for anybody and everybody. I don't think that there's,
yeah, I think we're, I mean, on the same page. The pros, right now.
There's pros out there that can handle doing some sort of Zoom show because they've got that experience and they have that, you know, ability to perform and they have the following, and so whenever you're one of us, a kind of forgotten city of comedy, it's, if we're not out performing a couple times a week, We're definitely on the trend of not getting any better, but probably regressing in some state of the world.
Yeah, those first like mics are gonna be pretty rough when we have to start back up. But I mean, like, we talked to all these guys who've been doing it and stuff, and they're all hungry and they're all ready to come back. So like, we'll probably have some drop out, but like when it is safe to where we can all come back and do this, I think there's gonna be a huge desire to just get out and see stuff and create. I mean, I had a random person ask me, is there a place that you stand up? I'm like, there is, but not right now. Like,
not currently.
Yeah. And yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think that there's going to be a little bit more of, you know, appreciation for what's available here versus, you know, maybe beforehand you'd take it for granted that there's 3 or 4 open mics a week. You can go out and really get some decent time here in Lubbock and the best exposure that we can kind of offer for it through Laugh Hub City. But at the end of the day, you know, that stuff really doesn't, it's a very hard thing to kind of get establishments to commit to having comedy there and kind of stick with you during the bad days and bad weeks that you have. And then, you know, whenever you're good. And, you know, we were lucky to have what we had. I don't know what that's going to look like coming back, but you know, we'll put our heads down and continue plugging away here in the old LBK on trying to make sure there's a scene here and opportunities for people to get out and practice the craft.
Yeah. Yeah. Like what people don't realize is the difficulty it is to build the scene in the first place when there is no scene. And
right.
Like, and it takes like consistency of week after week of doing shows. And then you start getting these people that become fans that like, that's their night out on a Wednesday. It's like, oh, let's go see the comics or whatever. Let's go watch people fail miserably on the microphone. Like, and like, you know, just over time that happens and stuff. But then you start stringing together some good shows where you have like a bunch of people developing well and stuff, the people that are really like going for it. And then it becomes like just an entertainment night. And
yeah.
It's just like, we're going to see a movie this night. We're going to go see comedy this night. We're going to do karaoke this night. And like, and so, I mean, that's kind of where we were at before this stopped. I don't know how the process is going to be having to build up that element where it's just like, oh yeah, comedy is just a normal option, you know?
Right.
Because we don't have a comedy club here. And that also is difficult because like, it kind of sets the rules of like what a comedy show is. It's like, you're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to do that. And so we have shows at bars, bar shows, and you're fighting the crowd elements. And we've done our best to separate the show from the bar people, like the people that don't want to see the show. But I mean, there's only so much you can do in a room, but
right.
And who knows if there aren't going to be any bars left after this. So, like,
my gosh. Yeah. Who knows? They might just be, you know, all litter boxes by the end of this thing. Yeah. Hookah lounges and
it's all gonna be at Corey's house or in outdoor on my patio kind of like.
That's right. Yep.
Shows and stuff because yeah, I don't even know. But that was fun. I'm glad it feels like a weight off my shoulders to get my first set out of the way. So,
well, how did you feel about it listening to it? I mean, obviously you probably listened to it a couple times prior to recording.
Yeah, I had to listen to it to make sure it was the right one and stuff. And like the first time I listened to it, I was like it wasn't as bad as I thought it was because I expected it to be more. I knew the beats of what I was saying. But then I forgot some things, and I'm like that. Man, I mean, that's an element of a joke that I made better like months, years later. And so like I didn't feel bad about it. It felt like looking at the stems of like a great music track or something. It was just like,
sure.
I'm like okay, I can see exactly where my mind started, and I can see how I got better at it. So
yeah,
it wasn't that bad. And like I don't mind. Like a lot of people would probably be really scared to put out their first stuff like that, and I'm like no, it's like the whole point of this is like everybody starts somewhere, and I think it's very beneficial to look at yourself along with other people and be like, it's just like, because like you really only see someone when they have the glossy finished product and stuff. That's usually unless you're on TikTok or some shit, which is gonna get shut down in a couple months.
Right.
Anyway.
Get your TikToking in now.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's gonna be a lot of like TikTok stars. They're gonna be sad and stuff. It's just like talk to the what was it, the Venmo people? Like not Venmo. What was the little 30-second clip thing?
Oh.
Was it Venmo or is that the money thing?
That's money.
Oh,
Venmo me some money. There's Vimeo, which is like
a video thing. No, what was the 30-second clip thing that went down? Vine. It was Vine.
Vine.
I knew it started with a V. Yeah, yeah. Vine. Talk to all the Vine stars and ask them how they like survived after the Vine shutdown.
Yeah. Gosh, I can only imagine those poor social media stars just having their dreams stripped from them.
They just showed a guy. I just watched the news and they showed a guy and he's just like, I'm supporting my family on TikTok. How dare you? And stuff. And I'm like, you're not getting a lot of support making dumb dancing videos. I'm like, you should be happy you're making money on this stuff.
I need to see the deposits. How much is he supporting here? I mean, are we talking like, is this guy making a living off of TikTok or is he providing Tic Tacs for his family?
Yeah. I'm supporting my family with ramen noodles. That's right. Every week, $5 from this Joe Schmo in Sandusky, Ohio. I don't know why I picked Sandusky.
It's a good common Joe Schmo guy. Place.
Joe Schmo from Sandusky, Ohio.
Well, the next portion of this podcast, the guest is going to answer five random questions, and those questions are comprised by you, since I'm the guest now. So,
okay,
let's do this fun rapid fire five question. And I think when we get to the point where we've done our episodes, it'll be three questions from each of us for the guest. Is how I think this is going to work out. That way, we'll have some different perspective questions.
Sure. So yeah, I've got. They kind of vary in, I guess, seriousness. But, okay, we'll just start off with the first one here. So for Mr. Aaron Durbin, pop culture references, you're the king of this in our comedy group, and more times than I'd like to admit, I have no clue who you are talking about and what it is in reference to. And I mean that like, this guy really is in tune with referencing people, places, and past events in his act. How would you describe the way that you source all of that information?
Well, it's being lazy and at home and watching stuff. That information gets sourced basically because it's something usually on something I love. Like I'm doing like a bunch of action movie. Like it's just because I grew up watching action movies or like the only problem I run into is the fact is like I have to remember that people aren't me. So like I think when I started, I did a lot of Simpsons reference because I grew up on the Simpsons. It's like everything's coming up Milhouse. You know, it's just like that's just part of my vernacular. I take in it's easier for me to remember like an episode of like Seinfeld than it is for like you know some great quote by some philosopher or whatever. Sure.
And do you like? Do you go back and like research it, or do you look it up, or do you just have it all in your noggin and you just kind of have it at will? Like, all right, yeah, this is kind of leaning towards this reference, which is something that I'm familiar with.
I have it in my mind. Like, if it's like I need it for a joke or whatever, I might look it up just to make sure I'm doing it correctly. So like, I'll have something and like. I'll say something a certain way and stuff, and I'm like, I just want to check and see if that's exactly how I remember it, because you know how we all have that thing where like over time things get changed in your memory and stuff. It's like, is that what they said? And a lot of times, I'll give you an example. There's the movie Houseguest with Sinbad in it. It's Sinbad and it's Steve Martin or no, it's not. See, I'm already going
it's
on the wrong swing.
Phil Hartman.
Yeah, Phil Hartman, and I. Swear to God, in the movie there was a line that and they were talking about they're like we have black acts. Lionel Richie played here, and I swear to God, Sinbad said Lionel Richie hadn't been black since the Commodores. And I watched that movie again. I'm like, it's not there. I'm like, did I just dream that? Did that not, or is that in another movie and I'm mixing it? So like, I'll look that stuff up and then I'll pull from there. But most of the time, it's just off the cuff. Like it's usually just because. Like my mind's easier. The easier takes in pop media, social stuff.
Well, it's impressive because I can't. I guarantee, like you know how you'll just like pull up your Safari on your iPhone and just look up something in like your Google quick search.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have pages upon pages. Like whenever we were doing mics, where it's just like somebody's name or like some quote from something or a show name, and they're all stacked up in like these pages that I've had, and I'm like, oh shit, yeah, that's what that was. It's like
I'll
just
buy that
like,
for a dollar. That is in RoboCop,
right? Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of times where I'm like acting like, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about, and then I'm like low key looking it up on my phone, like what the fuck is this shit? Let's see here. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
Oh, man. Like
local billboard
local
here in LBK.
LBK Lubbock local billboard.
Yeah,
oh, man.
Say you get the billboard on Oh, where's a good billboard? One of those.
The electronic one on 19th and University.
Yeah, electronic one on 19th and University right there by campus. What would it say? You get that sucker for a whole month.
A whole month. Oh, man, that's a good one. See, my favorite billboards are the ones from God that you see when you're driving around. It's just like, it's like, forgive, and it's like, question mark, God.
Right, like, yeah. Like, and if anybody's listening to this, yeah, outside of West Texas, there's a lot of them. So if you drive anywhere in West Texas, there's billboards. They're like black background with white letters, and they're from God, and it's like... Yeah, miserable question mark. Talk to me.
Yeah.
God.
Think no one's listening? Call me God.
Right. Like, yeah. It's really like condescending, like condescending, like things that God was going to tell you, which, like, obviously some dipshit from some church paid for the billboard and was like, this is what God wants the people to read, which is totally outlandish as hell. Yeah. But yeah, the God billboards, those are great. But
what would mine be for, like, that area? That's a good question. I do this joke because, like, all that area around there was recently gentrified and stuff. And so, like, there's a statue of the guy who did it and stuff, and he's got his arm pointing out, like, he's looking away, like, he's pointing out, like, to the horizon or whatever. And so I would just put, get the poor people out of here.
And just pointing towards the inside?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That'd be great. Let's see here. This was just one that I saw. I wasn't super creative with these. On a scale from 1 to 10, how weird are you?
Oh, man. I would say an 8. I would say
8 out of 10 weird.
I would say, yeah. 10 out of weirds is like incels or something. And like... And I'm a pretty weird guy. So, like, I would say, 7 or 8, probably. I don't know. Like,
yeah. What would you say on a weekly basis is, like, one of the weird scales that you were like, oh, I consistently do this at least maybe once a month, once a week, something like that?
I mean, I'm trying to think. You were coming up here to do this, and I was just like, I got to finish this Taste with Tangy show. I only know that because, like, I would research all these, like, Texas, like, food, like, shows and stuff. And so, like, there's Taste with Tangy on the internet, on YouTube. There's this guy, it's the Texas Bucket List. And then there's the OG, the Texas Country Reporter, Bob Phillips, which is why I was just like, and like, so I'll go, like, probably once a week, I will go on a tangent and just, like, dial down and research one thing and just figure everything. Like I'm constantly on Wikipedia and I'm like, wait, how are they related and stuff? Like, so, like, I'll go in there. It's like, oh, I'm like, this famous actor is the son or daughter of a famous other actor. I'm like, I know this, you know? It's like, I can't think of offhand, but there was one that just threw me off real bad. And I was just like, wait, that guy's the son of, like, whatever, Betty Davis or something. There's a need or a compulsion, almost like an OCD thing. It's just like, I need to find this out and do it.
So yeah, you find something, you're like, I need to know what's going on with that. And you, like, won't quit till you know all about it.
Exactly. It's like, I need to know what really silicum husk is. You know, like, it's like, I don't believe this. But, yeah, like.
Well, he's saying this to me, and right over his left shoulder, his left shoulder is his bear costume. That it's like a bear head that he can wear, like, as, like, a hood. And then it's like almost like a shawl for his arms.
It's the official workaholic's bear coat.
Okay, there you go, bear coat.
Yeah. So, and it's warm. It's so warm, so I can only wear it in, like, really cold temperatures and stuff. So, and the only problem with wearing that is everybody's like, "Can I get a picture in it and stuff?" And I'm just like, "Ugh." I'm like, "Pay me $5."
There you go.
Make my coat money back.
All right. Fourth question here. Okay, so for me, I have certain actors and just regular people that no matter how good they are, say, at acting or, like, they're a good person, I just can't stand anything that they do. Like, I can't watch it. I'm just like, I don't like this guy. But it's like their face. And just something about their face, it's always just like, fuck that guy. Like, I don't care. Like, okay, great. Yeah, I heard the movie was great. It's critically acclaimed. He does a great job acting in it. It's like, I'm not going to watch it. I hate that guy. It's going to suck for me. Do you have that kind of
feeling, and who is your actor slash actress, and is there a specific reason behind the hate? Like, for me, mine's like James McAvoy.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking hate James McAvoy, and there's really no rhyme or reason to it. It's like I see him. I think, like, it all stems from, like, that. What was it, like the bullet where he bend bullets in a movie?
Oh, yeah, Wanted. Yeah.
Wanted. I watched that movie, and I literally, like, developed this hate in my gut for him because he's, like, bending fucking bullets and shit. And I was just like, dude, fuck this guy. And so everything that he's in, I'm like, oh, he's in it? Won't watch it. I can't watch it. I won't watch it. And I don't know if that's just a weird thing that I do, but I was wondering if you have that, and if so, for who?
Well, this is gonna be unpopular, but Tom Hanks. And it's not like I can't watch it. I can still watch it, but I know I'm not gonna enjoy it. So, like Tom Hanks to me, his best movie was The Burbs, which most people don't like. And like, I'm like, that's Tom Hanks at his best. Yeah. You know, it's like, and like, I'll give you Saving Private Ryan. Like, that's a decent movie, but everything that Tom Hanks is in, I'm just kind of like, ugh. I mean, like, Castaway just, oh, I was like, how long is this movie? 8 hours? Like, I think the recent one he came out with on the submarine, I'm like, there's only been one good submarine movie, and it was The Hunt for Red October, and everybody keeps trying to make submarine movies, and they're not good. But, and I was just like, I'm like, doing nothing for me, Tom Hanks and stuff. And like, he's a loved son of the, like, I got nothing against the guy and stuff, but like, just the films he's come out with, I'm just never excited about. I'm just like, Saving Private Ryan was probably the last one, but I mean, like, The Terminal, that's a terrible movie. Like, I mean, it's like, I'm in the airport the whole time. It's just like, okay, cool, dude. Cool story, bro. But that's probably the one that, like, I could think off the top of my head would be.
There you go. You heard it here first from,
and how he destroyed his career in one podcast.
That's right.
Tom Hanks said he can't get anything done now.
First episode of any podcast where one of our co-hosts says, fuck Tom Hanks, he sucks.
This is the You Just Got Canceled podcast.
Yeah, probably. All right, final question here. With the quarantine and COVID-19, many people have been evaluating their job situations. What is your dream job and dream city to live in?
Ooh, dream job, dream city.
You can pick one or the other. If you just like, I mean, can work my same job, or if you can get both lined up, what would it be and where would it be?
All right. Well, I mean, we'll go back to movie references, and I love this movie, and I'm sure a lot of people don't like it either. But Captain Ron, like,
oh, Captain Ron, baby.
Yeah, but I would love to be just one of those guys that, like, is the skipper of, like, a sailboat, and you're just in the Caribbean and stuff, and you're just like, it's like, all right, I'll take the eye patch, I don't care. But yeah, I just go from, like, and it's just like, I was like, oh, we got to go up to St. Croix, you know, like let me get the sails ready and stuff, rich people, you know, like, I think that would be fun, like. I don't like trash TV, but I love that yacht one. What is it called? It's not Out to Sea. Like, it's funny. We weren't doing a podcast. I can remember it. Oh, Below Deck. That's what it's called. Below Deck. Yeah, Below Deck. It's on, like, Bravo or something.
And,
it just follows the crew of these, like, expensive yachts that, like, people are on and stuff. So it's like, they're just like, I'm in love with you. We need stakeout. We've got a difficult get. And I'm like, and it's just like, it's funny because it's so absurd because, you know, I'm sure they're paying, like, I'm sure the person's paying, like, $50,000 for this yacht trip or whatever. But they still are cool with letting the cameras be around and stuff. And it's in the back, they're out there. And then it's like, this guest will not stop eating, like shrimp or something. And, like, and it's just like,
they can obviously hear this person making the comment. And, like, this fat ass guy is just still shoveling.
It's like, these are the worst guests ever. but I'm like, I just love it. It's just like I have, like, you know, like, the captains I like, you know, the chefs I like, and so the stewards and stuff. And it's just like, it's just funny. It's just like, oh, I can't deal with this person on this show. But yeah, like, I think that would be the best ever to, like, be able to just, like, because, I mean, I love the idea. There's no real adventure anymore. And, like, just being out on the seas by yourself and stuff. And it would just be cool to, like, have that kind of access. It would be fun. It would have been fun to live in that time where, like, you were discovering the islands and stuff like that, and like pirates. I mean, technically, I just want to be a pirate, really. But
there we go, Pirate Durbin. I really didn't expect that at all from you.
Oh yeah. What was your guess on that? Like,
I mean, I thought that you'd like want to be in like a, like not like a super like hipster city, but like I could see you like really wanting to like get something locked in at like either in Denver or in like Seattle or.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
or
those,
Portland.
Those
or,
are all cities that I would vibe pretty well in.
But
stuff.
I didn't really know what like your dream job is because like I didn't know, but that's cool.
Yeah.
Captain Ron.
That's what this is.
Captain Derb.
That's what this podcast is for. It's just like, I didn't know anything about you. Well, and like, and then they're like, it's like, wait, Tom Hanks, we can't be friends anymore.
Hey, I think you got a decent reason for it. I will say whatever the movie that they came out with, that's like only on iTunes. Like movie looks like it's a turd.
It was pretty bad. I've watched it. It's like, it's Greyhound is what it's called.
Yeah Greyhound.
Yeah. And I'm just like, it's just, really isn't it's like meh of a movie. Like, it's just like, I mean, I'm watching it because it's there, you know.
Yeah.
And like, but I mean, like, I've watched plenty of movies that are there, you know, and that was more the fact that like Apple TV doesn't have that much content on it, and I'm like, well, they got a new movie out, we'll see what it is and stuff, and I'd gone through all the other services I had. But that's sweet, man. We're at an hour, so we're gonna close this out the way. So all people like for example, the Joe Rogan podcast, they always have these promotional pictures, and they're next to his like weird wolf creature, or they have like the flamethrower or samurai sword. I don't have any of that shit, but I do have like a very small vinyl collection. So the guest was going to, at the beginning of the show, we'll choose a vinyl to take a picture for the promo for. And so we're just going to talk about that. And so I chose the vinyl of the Castlevania Symphony of the Night soundtrack. And so that is a video game that came out on PlayStation.
Castlevania.
And I nerded out enough to find a vinyl printing of it, which is done by Mondo. Shout out Mondo. And it's fantastic. I regret nothing on buying this. It's basically, it's still probably one of my favorite games. I still have it, and I have it, like, I have a PlayStation 2 that I use as a DVD player, but I'll sometimes bust out Symphony of the Night, and I'll be a la carte, and I'll go out there and kick some vampire shit. So, like...
Okay, so it's like a... Like, the plot of the game is, like, it's vampires in this...
Yeah, are you familiar with the Castlevania series or whatever? Like,
I feel like I've seen something similar to this, that they had, like, an arcade game at it. At, like, Copper Caboose, or, like, at some sort of place that you can... I don't know. The characters look very familiar, but no, I have never played it. There's a chick here with big old titties, though. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, you got to get the gamer kids in on it. So, like, the original one, like Castlevania, was a big game for Nintendo. Simon Belmont was the main character, and you would go and you're trying to hunt Dracula. And then this one, you're a la carte, which is a vampire, and you're trying to go and you're trying to go find Dracula too. And it's Dracula spelled backwards, by the way. That's what a la carte is.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, like, in there's probably I think 12, maybe 10 different games in the Castlevania series. But like, if you look at the ranking system, everybody ranks this one in the top because it's the best. It's the best storyline, best, and it's the best music. It's not like it's like real symphonic, like. It's not like your normal MIDI controller stuff, like, you know, stuff like. And so I was just like, when I saw that, I got it. And and I was just like, yeah, I'm like, this is totally the nerd side of me. Like, this is the 8 of the 10 kind of just going
out
there.
Oh, there you go. No, it definitely is.
But
the game looks cool.
I would not be surprised if I'm the only person in this town that owns that vinyl. But,
well, hell yeah. Well, don't, we're not going to share his address because there's probably some nerd that's like, I must have Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
I need that. It's a double vinyl, too. That's how much of a dork I am. Like, it is. But yeah, so like that was the first one, and so then you will be the next guest, so you'll get to choose a vinyl out of my small collection.
Okay.
And talk about
it's in a Seagram's box.
Yeah. If you didn't know, the Seagram's box, great for vinyl. Like,
there you go.
It's the milk crate of the alcoholic.
Awesome.
But I think this is a good first episode, man. I think we did good. I think we're gonna have a good running on this. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Glad to be a part of it. Glad to get it launched. And y'all heard Derb set first. So make sure you check it out. And However we share it, make some comments on what you thought you liked of his set and tell us what he sucked at.
And we'll get some stuff set up to where you guys can respond or whatever, like email, Instagram, all that stuff. But we'll have that drop on the next episode, and that way you can come back and hey, you can probably, and we'll probably set up where you can send in a theme song because you're probably way better at it than I am. So
yeah, please do.
Yeah, because otherwise I'm just gonna torture this guy every week with terrible tracks I do on my MIDI controller. So like, all right. So this has been first stage, first episode, my first set. We're gonna next episode will be Caleb Davis's first stage, first set. Thank you very much. Have a good night, and we will catch you on the next one.